never filtered. Always fun.
Brendan will sometimes give a fist pump after a big goal. You don't even move. How is that possible?
Did you ever watch a duck on water? You don't see anything, and the feet are going like hell. So that's what you're saying.
Okay, so the heartbeat is racing is what you're saying.
I have no idea.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Craig Button in here for the O-Dog. The O-Dog is on assignment in Ottawa tonight.
You think he makes it? Is he supposed to come back tomorrow?
He's supposed to be back tomorrow. I would say 50-50
probably. That's a
Jerry's
percentage if this guy shows his face tomorrow.
Will he be taking the train back from Ottawa on the 2 o'clock train?
He's flying now.
He's a flyer now.
He's a flyer. This guy was on a flight last night.
Okay, now let me just stop here. Did we ever have a Jerry's percentages on Jeff O'Neill being a regular flyer? I would have said zero.
I would have said zero as well. No, I've never come across anybody more terrified about flying than him.
And a guy who did it so much because of his career.
Yeah.
But hated it. It's
I guess willingly, as I should have qualified it with willingly fly.
He circled back, though. Good on him. I will give him props for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, so will I.
He's back in the air, and he's in Ottawa. He posted a picture already on Instagram.
Yep.
He's in the building. He's okay. We assume he'll be back tomorrow. Godspeed to the O-Dog.
I'm shocked. I am. I'm rarely speechless, but I am really, I thought for sure he'd be on the 2 o'clock train, miss Overdrive.
Well, I hear you, man. I would have expected the same thing.
I am the one who won't be in tomorrow, so it'll be you, O-Dog, and Hayes.
You're going under the knife tomorrow.
I'm on assignment tomorrow for a different type of assignment. I'm going under the knife, but Steph doesn't think I'll be back Friday. There's a chance. I'm trying to try and give a Jerry's percentage on that one.
I'll give you 10%. Yeah. I'll leave the door open,
I'm not going for 4%.
You're at 4%, I'm at 10%.
I don't want to. I'm not going to push it.
Well,
somebody sent me a note yesterday saying Steve Kerr had like back surgery and it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not even on the bench.
Don't you love when people tell you, oh, yeah, I had that surgery once. I got to tell you, it was like, really? Shut your mouth.
What's Kramer's friend on Seinfeld that always has the Bob Sacamano or something? Yeah. Like, this guy's been under the knife, had an aunt die. Like, it's terrible. Everyone's scaring me about it. I'll be fine.
Yeah, don't listen to people.
Exactly.
All right? Like Trump said, just don't listen to people. Put your head down
news.
And fight,
fake
fight,
news,
fight.
Yeah,
it's all fake news.
Fake news.
You are fake news.
And exactly. It's a beautiful day in Toronto. I don't know what the weather's like in Ottawa, but it's finally summer, or it feels like it's summer here anyway, and the O-Dog's out, and you're going to be in bed for the next 2 days.
I don't want to complain, but I feel like it's a little bit hot. Like
it's so hot in the studio right now.
It's 1,000 degrees in the studio. I thought it was 1,000 degrees outside today. Like, it was like a punch in the face.
I love that, though. I love scorching heat. I will sign off. This isn't hot enough for me. I like it being scorching because I can always remember how miserable I was in mid-January when it was minus 20 and 6 inches of snow were on the ground. Like, I can always remember that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I could understand if you lived in the Caribbean or something like that, and it's like 25 all the time.
Right, right.
And then it moves up to 35. You're like, forget that. I'm not going outside.
Right.
Because 25 is what you're used to. When you're used to minus 20 with the windshield and snow, give me as hot as you can get.
Yep.
I'll take it every day of the week. And I have a feeling now that we're on TV, I'm going to be called out for my hypocrisy because I'm an anti-shorts guy when the weather is not permitting. Right, and I kind of get off on tangents a little bit, suggesting that shorts guy, don't jump the gun when it's the first nice day.
Right.
Don't start kind of tempting Mother Nature to turn on you. And here I am.
But you're a shorts
guy? I'm in a lime green shirt. I've got like, I don't even know what kind of shoes these would be called.
Did you forget we were on TV? Or I don't mind it.
I figured I'd bring the summer look.
You look good. And I wear shorts. Do you know why? Because I never give up on summer.
Really?
You are shorts guy. You should be shorts guy.
I'm the guy that you are like shaking your head on.
Yeah.
Really?
He's shorts guy.
I am.
I got serious beef with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, game three tonight. Sens Pens. Phil Kessel. There are babies being named after this guy down in Pittsburgh.
He's a legend.
And, you know, we were talking about this earlier in the afternoon. The difference between how he is being perceived and celebrated in Pittsburgh compared to everything here in Toronto.
Right.
And I referenced the fact that the trade kind of sent it down a negative road right off the hop because people didn't want to give up draft picks. And because it was right. Tyler Seguin and Dougie Hamilton that turned into those picks, Phil Kessel started behind the eight ball. And then because the team was so bad, he couldn't be this fun-loving, affable, hey, look at this kind of goofball right, that we right. can laugh with because he's going to score big goals and play really well and play every single night. Because they were so bad, he didn't have the ability to show that side.
Yep.
And ultimately, I wouldn't go back and change anything because everything that took place prior to this has led to where we are today with Babcock being here, Matthews, Marner, Nylander. It's a new era in Toronto. Everyone is embracing it. Everyone appreciates it. But it is kind of one of those things where you can look back and say, I wonder what it would have been like if the Leafs were actually a cup-contending team and Phil was here. How would Torontonians, how would Leaf fans feel about Phil Kessel in that situation?
Well, let's go back. Can we just rewind for a second? 2013, the playoffs. You remember game one against Boston? I mean, where it was just the Leafs were manhandled and Randy Carlyle was behind the bench. And then, you know, they came around. And Phil Kessel became a big part of that series.
Yeah,
he was very good. So in a very small sample size, I think you did see what could happen when the team was really good. I mean, obviously the narrative changed and the team wasn't very good and change was necessary and it did happen. But that little brief moment in 13, Phil really came back after that beating. I mean, the team took a beating in game one, and then they took it all the way to game seven.
The Leafs fans are very comfortable with where their organization is at. And that's there's no doubt about that. And I think people wouldn't trade that. But the narrative, like, Phil Kessel's gone on, won a Stanley Cup, had success. Dion Phaneuf's having a nice playoff for Ottawa. You know, there is...
Randy Carlyle's in Anaheim.
There's some Leaf flavor to the playoffs still. But I don't think anybody would trade...
None of it is trolling.
It's not. It's like, hey, we're happy. You know, go on, move on. Life has gone on. And in the interim, I think there was a lot of feelings that I think I sensed from Leaf fans, like, you know, to hell with Phaneuf and to hell with Kessel and that. But Kessel, for me, last year kind of just ended all of that because he went on and he had success. And you saw the personality. You're like, yeah, you know what? We were lucky. And I include myself. Here in Toronto, we watched a top-flight goal scorer, and that's what he was. Yeah, he wasn't. He didn't lead this team to the promised land. It's unfortunate. Phaneuf didn't do that. Randy Carlyle didn't do it. And you're seeing guys move on that they can have success outside of here. But what you focus on is like, hey, we're excited about what this group has here, this young group that's going to grow. But you can be happy for people that have moved on and say, hey, you know what? Maybe they get an opportunity to have success as well. So it's kind of a win-win if you're me from the outside. The unfortunate part is I haven't watched this team for 40 years and lived through the pain. That's where I understand people say, well, you know, we didn't like what went on here the last 3 or 4 years or the last 10 years leading up to what's happened now because I didn't live it.
Well, a lot of people are talking about what the Brooklyn Nets went through last night.
Right.
Very similar to what the Leaf fans went through with the Kessel trade. Now, Phil Kessel was 21 years old, star player, scored a boatload of goals. Boston traded old man Paul Pierce, old man Kevin Garnett, old man Jason Terry.
Right.
And Nets fans, I think, at that time acknowledged this deal isn't really going to work out for us because these guys they're done. They're in their 30s. They're not the same players they were. Phil was just getting going.
Right.
And was going to give his prime years to the Maple Leafs. But the experience of watching a horrible team hand over the second overall pick was very, very painful. And I would think probably similar to what Brooklyn Nets fans were going through last night, where their team is the worst team in the NBA.
They are
abysmal. And when they made that deal, it didn't do anything for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those three, they beat the Raptors. Who cares? They didn't win titles. It wasn't sustained success. And they make that deal, and it comes back to haunt them 4 years later because the Celtics win the lottery.
Right.
And it's Brooklyn's pick. And, I mean, that is a situation where you talk about the resolve of Maple Leaf fans, everything that they've had to go through.
Yep.
There are a lot of fans, I think, that would walk away from a team if they are put through that situation. Like, I would not be surprised if there are fans down in Brooklyn saying, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Look what just happened. We have the worst team in the league, and we hand the first overall pick over to the Boston Celtics.
And you need draft picks in basketball to become a good team.
And they don't have their pick next year. Boston's got their pick next year.
I don't think they had it last year or the year before either.
That's the worst. It's unbelievable.
One thing I wanted to say just quickly, the Stanley Cup will be handed out this year. And either Phil Kessel will be
back on
carrying it on one. Or Dion Phaneuf,
yeah.
Or P.K. Subban,
yeah.
Or Randy Carlyle.
Right.
Think about those different, I mean, you know, everything surrounding those four individuals, mm-hmm, and yeah, their departures. And I'm with Jamie. Hey, listen, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it's not a fit. You move on. And ask yourself this. Okay, it didn't work, but are you happy where the Leafs are at? I don't think anybody is in happy.
There's no bitterness at all because no one would go back and redo the trades. Maybe you would redo the details, you know, if you could. It's retrospective analysis. Would I rather this player or this pick? I don't know. But for the most part, all of these dominoes had to fall for you to be in a position to draft Matthews and to give ice time to Marner and Nylander, et cetera.
But think about this, too. They were able to use the first pick, first-round pick from Pittsburgh to get Frederik Andersen.
Right.
So Frederik Andersen is on this team. You
know, that's right.
Kasperi Kapanen is showing some traction here to be on this team and a contributor. So, you know, all of a sudden now you're looking at Frederik Andersen, you're looking at Kasperi Kapanen. That's good for the future of the Leafs.
And it just also for me, I can't speak to the pain that people went through. That's the difference.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And you look at it and approach it differently.
Right.
I get that, but I don't think Leaf fans are bitter at all.
No, not at all.
And I don't think they hold anything against these guys. I really don't, and I don't think they should. Jay's back in action tonight, coming off a couple of losses, some injury notes, John Gibbons admitting that he jumped the gun. I believe it was yesterday when he suggested Donaldson could be back this weekend. He said that's not going to happen. And Tulowitzki will not be in Atlanta either. And to chat about that, amongst some other things, we're joined now by our Jays analyst, Steve Phillips. And this Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Steve, when you hear Gibbons come out, and obviously he was optimistic or he wanted to believe Donaldson could return, but then today he circled back and said, I jumped the gun, it's not going to happen. How do you think the organization has been handling Donaldson's injury and his rehab, considering what happened the first time around when it appears as if he rushed back and all of a sudden he goes on the DL for like a month plus?
Yeah, you know, I think they're being conservative. And look, I get Gibby, you know, he got crossed up a little bit in the information on it. And, you know, he tends to be the spokesman and he gets his information from somebody. He's just not pulling a rabbit out of a hat and guessing. And you know, they got out in front of themselves a little bit. That can happen, and that's why I always hesitate on giving deadlines and due dates and when somebody's coming back, because if they don't come back at that time, then there's a setback. And if they come back before that, then you rush them, and you end up having to explain yourself one way or the other. So they're going to be conservative with it and make sure that they're right. But even with Donaldson, you know, I don't know that they rushed him because, you know, he played in some spring training and it seemed like he was doing okay and they tested it, he ran. It's just that, you know, it wasn't 100%, but, you know, who's 100% at any point during the course of the season? So I think they'll be cautious. They'll try to make sure that he can do everything from a baseball perspective, but it doesn't mean that something won't crop up again. But we'll see how this plays itself out you know, they want to make sure that when they get him back, that they don't have any setbacks because they don't have much margin for error right now. They've got to win and win fast and win often if they're going to have any chance at all of getting a wild card spot and heading to the postseason.
So Steve, as a manager, is there ever a point in time when you become, you know, after a situation now with Josh Donaldson, that you become weighted to being overcautious?
Well, you know, I think that it's possible. I mean, like, everybody's human, right? So you, on the other hand, you know, if I'm Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, I've got some level of desperation that I'm like, come on, hurry up. Can this thing heal? You know, and I want to watch him as quickly as I can. And as soon as it looks like he's ready, I want to activate him. So I think the general sense of it, look, if you're winning games and everything else, you can take as much time as you want. They can't afford it right now because every game that he doesn't play and every game that they lose is a game that they're going to have to somehow, in a streak, make up some other way. Yet they can't think about winning streaks, and they can't think about making up ground, and they can't think about winning games. They can only just think about right now win with the guys that are there, play well with the guys that are there, give yourself the best chance to get the job done, and then when Donaldson comes back, make sure he stays healthy and that he's as good as he possibly can be.
With Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays analyst, they're at the quarter mark now. They've played 40 games. Bigger story for you looking back on the first 40 games, the injuries or the record?
Well, it's hard to separate the two because I do think they're really connected. I think the injuries probably more than anything, because when you look at a record, you start to evaluate and think, well, this isn't indicative of the team. But I don't think that we've had any sort of ability to evaluate the team that has put out this record. So I would say the injuries are probably the leading force for me. We all understand that nobody feels sorry for the Blue Jays outside of Toronto. Nobody feels sorry for the injuries. Nobody's saying, oh, geez, you know what, we'll wait here for you until you guys are ready to start to play, and then we'll start to, you know, match up best team for best team. They're going to have to make their own luck and make up ground one game at a time. So I think that probably the injuries are the leading story, but we understand that the impact of that has been the tough record.
With Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, the bunt heard around the world yesterday, Devin Travis laying down a bunt in the eighth inning, and he had a couple of doubles already. He's been really, really hot throughout the month of May, and a couple guys on. A run behind Atlanta at that time, and obviously he couldn't get guys over. It didn't work out, and now everyone is all over Gibbons for that decision. This is an omnipresent conversation in baseball, in modern-day baseball, the importance of a bunt, when you actually utilize it, should you ever utilize it. What did you make of the decision yesterday for Travis to bunt in that situation, and where do you stand on this debate that just won't go away? All right.
Danny swinging the bat better. But I didn't mind the call on the bunt. I think that you know, you have to win as a team. You've got to take advantage of opportunities. And for the Jays, the idea.
There we go. There we go. I called the Noodles. What did we say? 2 days ago? Some guy's phone is going to drop.
It was 2 days ago, I believe, that we marked it in a file and said, because it had been like a month where we didn't have a call drop.
It was May 15th. We said that is the end. It was Jim Leyritz at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time on May 15th.
That
his
was
phone
Monday.
Dropped. It was on Monday, and we had gone a long time without any phones
we'd
dropping
some,
or reception
we'd had
issues.
We some real good luck.
And we said, watch, this is going to start a trend now where this is going to pop up. And sure enough, I could tell Phillips was toast.
You've got to have Jerry's percentages there.
It's always 100%.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to get right in front of it.
He had a great answer. I want to hear his answer.
Well, so do I.
So would I, but I don't know if we're going to get him back. Is he calling in from, where is Steve?
A tin can? What?
I don't know.
But nobody uses the landline anymore. I know you get frustrated, but like, do you use a landline when you call out to Edmonton?
No, I don't. I don't have a landline.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't have a landline.
Nobody has a landline, so you can't get mad at him.
I know. It's not his fault, but my point is, It's the audience that suffers. Thinking about, I'm a man of the people. Niels.
You're a man of the people.
All right, I think we have Steve back.
Yes.
Are you with us, Steve?
Yeah, I've got you. Yes.
All right, buddy.
Yes,
you were saying about
the
bun.
Man of the people.
Yes.
Listen, I get it. Right, I host my own show, and when people cut in and out, it does make it difficult. So my apologies for it, but I didn't have a problem with the bun. I think in the long run that, you've got to try to win as a team. And in that circumstance, to advance runners, it seemed to make sense. That it was the right move to do at the time. That even though he was swinging a hot bat, I think that you've got to advance the runners, put yourself in a position to drive in the go-ahead run as well. I didn't have an issue with it.
All right, Steve. We'll leave it there, buddy, because it's starting to crack a little bit again. We appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you.
All right. Thanks. There's Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, and it's brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
I think they had the phone, like, jammed in his between his shoulder and and his head, and he's, like, cooking or doing something.
I think he's barbecuing something right now.
So I was in Hawaii this year in February.
Yeah, you
right?
Get a phoner with
that. Yeah, no, and I do them, but I'm driving along, and I know, okay, the phone, and all of a sudden I can see the bars just go like from four to like one, right? And I look and I do an immediate U-turn because I go, I got to get back to that spot because it's the same thing. And I stopped and I just got to the side of the road and stopped because it is, it's frustrating for you being on the other end of the phone because you know it's frustrating on this side.
Well, and what is also a difficult position to be in is if you're talking, you don't know that your phone is cracking. You don't know if you're even off the line. And you're right. I've done interviews in Edmonton, Montreal. Yeah. I call into our own shows, and for all I know, my phone doesn't even work. And yet I'm sitting here freaking out on people.
And you're 2 minutes into something, and you've been dropped already, and you don't even know.
You have no idea.
And that's what I'm saying, and you're waiting for the host, and you're gone.
Yeah, you've been gone for 2 minutes.
It's terrible.
Anyway, we got through 2 days, and then phone reception caught up to us.
Well, let's mark that. Let's move the marker to now.
Move it up. May 17th. 6:20 p.m. Eastern time.
Had an incident. Have you seen this donkey on the bull, our co-host?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen what's going on in Ottawa?
No.
No, I haven't
seen. He's riding in a mechanical bull outside the building.
The O-Dog is right. Is that what you're saying? The O-Dog?
Yes.
We got to have video of this, don't we?
Well, I don't. There was a picture sent to us. TSN 1200 tweeted it out. O-Dog showing his skills on the new Country 94 bull at the red zone because he's all in. He's on top of a bull.
We need video. Sure, we got to have video.
I love how this guy's a Sens fan.
We got to have that.
This guy's a Sens fan now. Like, we got into this conversation earlier in the week, and you weren't here. It was when Jonas was in.
Yeah.
So maybe that was on Friday.
It would have been Friday.
And because Justin Trudeau was in town, right? And he was saying, you know, everyone, including people in Toronto, Montreal, have to support Ottawa, which is the dumbest, lamest take of all time. I hate it.
Right.
It's an annual issue that gets brought up in this country. Whenever there's only one team standing, everyone apparently has to support it.
Right.
No, I can't imagine that happens in any other country around the world.
It doesn't happen in this country.
No, it actually doesn't happen, but people suggest that it's supposed to happen.
Calgary and Edmonton. People told me in Calgary and Edmonton, 04 and 06, how they rooted. I have asked lots of people in Edmonton if they rooted for Calgary, and lots of people in Calgary. I haven't found one person that traded their allegiances because it was the last Canadian team standing.
Why would Leaf fans or Habs fans support Ottawa fans, and vice versa, if and when that happens.
It's
never going to happen.
It's ridiculous.
But the O-Dog claimed that he was going to support Ottawa. Now, I think he was being a contrarian, and he was, you know,
plus what he's doing, he knows he's got to get up there, right? He knows he's got to be in the building. But
he's all in on the bull. How long did he stay on? Was he 6 seconds?
I'm more worried about that he ripped his pants. Yeah. Because some days his pants hang on for dear life, and you're riding a bull. I think there could have been an incident.
Now that he's flying, we might have to get him out to the Stampede, Jamie, and get him with the real cowboys and say, you that mechanical thing, that doesn't matter. Well, let's see you ride one of these.
This is also a guy that has sweat issues at times. If he's outside in a suit riding a bull,
and it's hot up there.
It looks pretty hot. I'm a little concerned about...
He's going to have a glaze going for sure.
Riding the mechanical bull. Now he's Mr. Ottawa.
Are you looking at this picture?
I'm looking at the picture of the O-Dog. I'm going to tweet it out right now.
We got to get video of this.
Well, video.
It's got a lead. It's got a lead.
I would like to see the problem is I'm sure he said to them, do not throw me off of this thing. I rode a mechanical bull one time in L.A., and there was 9 of us. It was the day before a game. We were playing the Kings. There was 9 of us, and we were in our suits. We went to the Saddle Ranch on Sunset for lunch and a couple beers, and that turned into a little bit of a dinner. And we each put $100 on the table and went up on the bull to see who could stay the longest. We had a player named Blake Sloan, and Blake Sloan was a gritty little competitor, but I don't know if he had a little cowboy in him or something, but he went up and put a clinic on. And one of our players didn't want to injure his suit, so he took his pants off and went up just in a dress shirt. And I think the guy took it like he was being a hero, and he launched him. The guy, like, my teammate went flying into the wall. Like, talk about concussions off the ice. Like, this guy could have gotten a concussion.
Right.
Because the Saddle Ranch, what is it, bull operator, thought he was taking a shot by taking his pants off.
Like, don't be a hero.
Don't be
this
a hero.
My
and gave him, like, the one, like, initial push off of it, and he went flying. I lasted 2 seconds.
I don't think I've ever been on one.
I almost broke my arm, too. My arm got caught in the side. Like, you strap yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
I fell off, and then, like, kind of the bull, like, kicked me off, too. It was
It was not good. I don't have a future.
Have you ever been to the rodeo, Ryan?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I got to tell you, and I mean, Jamie, you have.
Yeah,
you get right back in the chutes. You get back into the chutes. There's two things. The bull riders are real small guys. Like, it's hard to believe. Like, we're talking buck 50. We're not talking big men. They're men that ride the bulls. And those bulls are powerful.
Yes.
Like, they're frothing at the mouth to buck somebody.
They're agitated. Yeah.
Oh, boy. It is an unbelievable spectacle. I mean, there's guys with as much courage. There's nobody with more courage than bull riders.
Yeah. Well, you're asking for trouble. Like, you got to get – the best part is when they get bucked off or whatever.
Yeah.
Those guys turn into – Usain Bolt real quick.
Yeah,
like they are running for the
rodeo
fences.
Rodeo clowns are out there trying to distract them. Like those, it's a scary thing, but it's really exciting. Like when I go to the Calgary Stampede, I love the chuck wagon races. Like that Friday night chucks, you have some beers. It's usually a nice day outside. Like it is so much fun. And the Stampede last year was the first year I've missed the Stampede in 20 some years, maybe more.
Head out to Ottawa, man. The Stampede, apparently, right outside the lake.
Yeah, O-Dog is
he's the Mr. Ottawa.
He's the marshal right now.
I've been in Calgary for 17 years. I haven't missed one Stampede.
It's a bucket list item for sure.
It is.
Dallas Aiken's going to join us. I want to get back into what Giselle had to say on CBS this morning. Giselle outing Tom Brady for a concussion pass that was never brought to the attention of the NFL, or the general public for that matter. And maybe quickly touch on LeVar Ball again and how he is sports media's version of Donald Trump. Yeah. People hate on him, but he doesn't stop yapping, and people keep putting him on their shows. And guess what? They get ratings.
Yeah.
They get clicks. And that's exactly what's happening. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Jays tonight. They're not losing three in a row against Atlanta. I'll take the Cubbies, who will get hot soon. Why not tonight? And I'll keep fading Kansas City. I'm on the Yankees. Throw down 20 and you can score 73. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you can't watch the show live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. And check us out on iTunes. We got Craig in here because the O-Dog is in Ottawa
riding bulls
outside of the rink. He's Mr. Ottawa Senator now.
Just a hero.
He's a hero. He's a man of the people in Ottawa.
Pissed off fans here of him saying like he's...
Oh, are they? Are they on him a little bit?
Well, there's a couple of notes saying, you're killing us right now. You're killing us.
Tell us
you've been drugged. That was one of the comments.
Riding the bull, the mechanical bull.
Yeah, that's
Game
not
three
good.
Tonight, Penn Sens, you can hear right here on TSN 1050. Someone's going up 2-1 tonight. We know that Nashville went up 2-1 last night in that series out west. And we head out west now and catch up with the former head coach, the Marlies, the Oilers, currently the head coach in San Diego. That's the affiliate for Anaheim. Here's Dallas Aikens. How you doing, Dallas?
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. There's a lot of focus up here in Toronto on that defense corps in Anaheim because of how good they are, how deep they are, how young they are, and the belief that maybe someone would be available down the road. You know them very well, Montour, Theodore, among others. Any surprise that they've been this good at the NHL level?
Well, no. Shea and Monty are highly passionate guys, and their investment and their development and their drive, I'm not surprised at all. And I'm just trying to think. I think all six of those D that played last night were all draft picks of the Ducks, and you don't see that a lot in the game for a team that's gone this deep. So, you know, Bob Murray is obviously doing an excellent job picking these players.
Dallas, I have two questions for you. Number one, have you ever rode a mechanical bull?
No.
I
do not see it in my foreseeable future.
Good.
Well, Jeff O'Neill is riding a mechanical bull outside the red zone in Ottawa prior to their game, so that's why I ask.
I can see that out of the O-Dog. That makes perfect sense.
You know, we've heard a lot about Guy Boucher in Ottawa and adjustments. As a coach, what line do you draw? You get into the playoffs, you're playing the same opponent, that you want to play the way you've played to get to this point, and now you're trying to look at where you can make an adjustment. How do you balance that out as a coach?
Well, I think it's a real battle for me, the adjustment. And it's something, you know, you've got people on your team, players on your team that have worked very well together over long stretches. And that chemistry or whatever you want to call it there, it's very important. And I know the players like to be comfortable. And then sometimes the adjustment is taking that comfort level away. And there lies the battle. Like, I like my players to be comfortable. I like them to be familiar with their teammates and have that good feeling going. But sometimes if it's not working, you've got to disrupt it. And for me, it's one of those things before a game or even going into a playoff series, I'm already looking at, okay, if this isn't going, what's the adjustment going to be? So a lot of times it's you've already thought ahead of it. You already have a plan ready. And then there's other times, hey, it's just a gut feeling on the bench or maybe you check in with one of your assistants. But they're tough calls, but they are the essence of winning or losing games.
Just a quick follow on that, just real quick. So you'd be more like you're trying to adjust during the regular season. When you get to this point, these important critical times, comfort for a coach and a play and your group is really at the forefront of your thinking.
Well, yeah, like obviously, hey, you're going to do everything you can to win. But my hope is that, you know, you try to develop chemistry during the season, and hopefully that is going to take you through right to the end. But that being said, if you're being overwhelmed or you see a spark on somebody in one of your lower lines, or maybe somebody doesn't have it that night, then you need that quickly. But for me, it's usually something that you've thought way ahead on, and you've talked amongst your staff, and that you're very prepared as a coach to make that adjustment.
With Dallas Eakins, what I find interesting about Ottawa's situation is they've been very stubborn. They've been playing a system that's been effective. It's 1-1. They could have walked away from Pittsburgh up 2-0, but there's been a lot of focus on the Penguins' defensemen having so many issues and so many injuries. And Daly may return tonight. Stripe may return tonight. But if they don't, they're down four of their top six guys going into the game tonight. So, Dallas, if you're Guy Boucher, or even if yourself, if you are yourself and you put yourself in that position, how tempting would it be to get away from a system that has been effective so far because you think a different style of play could maybe be more effective considering what's going on with Pittsburgh and their defensive issues?
Well, number one, I am not going to speak for Guy Boucher. He's done an excellent job there, and I honestly haven't watched enough of that series. But I will say this. The one thing that I've always found interesting in hockey and with coaches is that a lot of teams, they just, well, this is our system, and that's it. And I opened up my eyes to the NFL, and it was the Dallas Cowboys were good enough to have me in there a few years ago, and I was overwhelmed with the amount of plays and the things that all these guys had to learn. And the one thing that we did here this year is not only do our players understand the duck system, they understand a few different ones as well in case we have to go to this. And, you know, we stuck with basically one system of play, as I'm sure Ottawa has this year. But in the playoffs, getting late in the first round, we understood, hey, you know what, we need to go to this other one. We need a spark. And instead of tinkering around with lines or doing something like that, we went to a different system in the neutral zone, and it helped us win. So that's the call. Like, it's if you've practiced it or if it's not a big systematic change, it's probably easier to do. But if it's a drastic change and you're not well-versed and haven't been able to practice it, or you're not sure if your group will get it, it could be very dangerous.
I agree. I mean, it speaks to the confidence of a coach having the foresight to have those in-game adjustments or in-series adjustments. So that's good that your young group identifies that. I wanted to go a step further, and we've had this debate on our panel it's been all season about replay in the game. I mean, Hayes and I, we see eye to eye. O-Dog's a little bit different when it comes to the goaltender interference, the offsides. As a coach, And when you make it back to the NHL and coaching a team, is it something that you are excited about, or is it something that you want to just trust the refs and you'd be fine without it?
Yeah, you know what? As soon as I saw this about to come in, I thought it was a big mistake myself. I want to be able to trust the refs. I don't want the game stopping for long periods of time. I don't have any stats or anything to back this up, but I just believe it kind of all evens itself out in the end. Do I want to lose a game because it was offside? Absolutely not. But I think we have to trust our refs. There's four of them out there. I think the NHL and even here in the American League, it's refereed very, very well. And the referees are getting better and better. And I just think the game, like, we want to keep this game moving. Like last year, I went to the American Hockey League meetings and put forth a rule change. We're taking the coach's timeout out of his hands after an icing, because I'm like, we want offense. The team is bringing the game to a screeching halt because they've been caught in their own zone. And the American League took it on, and the game moves faster now. You can't slow the game down as a coach. And I just think those replays, I don't love them. I do understand the total other side of it, though.
Always appreciate the insight and you taking time. It was good catching up with you. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Dallas.
Hey, good catching up, guys. Thank you.
There's Dallas Aikens, head coach in San Diego, the Anaheim Ducks Farm Club.
Some great insight there. And I'm really glad that he made the mention about the referees. I think the referees in the NHL are phenomenal. The linesmen, and, you know, yeah. All we do now is we focus in on, oh, is that offside? What's the first thing after a goal now? The coaches are all looking down, was that offside? I mean, right. I agree with him about, you know, why do we want to slow the game down? And, you know, I get it. You're trying to find every edge to take away a goal, but, I mean, you're telling me that I had a good chat.
The offsides are really tough.
I had a really good chat with Jim Houston, who does the broadcast for Hockey Night in Canada, and we were talking. He says the whole idea of the rule is that you don't proceed the puck over the blue line. So you're telling me that your heel up is now offside? He goes, it violates the spirit of the rule and really what it was. And he's so right. The heel up is not offside. Proceeding the puck over the blue line is offside, which is why it was introduced.
It's a terrible rule.
I agree. I like the plane. You should be able to be over the plane of the blue line. But
don't review it at all. Just don't review. We survived for 100 years.
Yeah.
And the game was fine.
I agree.
Don't review it. It's stupid. It's a waste of time.
It
takes offense away. And we're talking about millimeter, and you're gonna rob that of the fans as well, their experience.
Yeah,
it's terrible. I hate it. I honestly hate. Like, I'm gonna go on some rant here. But it is embarrassing rule implementation in pro sports.
I just want to, when I get a chance, I talk to refs all the time. I talk to coaches and GMs and stuff. I always ask them because I want to hear differing opinions, because I wanted to hear what Dallas had to say about it, because when you talk to somebody else, they're like, I don't mind it. Like, I want to hear who's in favor of it, who's against it, and why. Because it's such a polarizing debate in hockey.
And let me add this too, okay? Commissioner Bettman, okay, warned the managers about this. He felt that this was a can of worms and a Pandora's box all in one that they were opening up. So, you know, Gary, you know, gets a lot of criticism and everything. He warned the managers about this.
The thing is about that, Gary is also very stubborn about just admitting to a mistake, and he should just admit it. And the GM should as well. And he should go to them or go to the owners and say, get this out. It happens in the NFL. They do this all the time. They try a rule. It didn't work. Yeah, we'll do it again. Who cares? It's not embarrassing. You tried something. It didn't work.
Yeah, good
get
point.
Rid of it. Go
really
back and go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get some time here for that Giselle audio quickly. We'll get back into LeVar Ball as well on Colin Cowherd's show earlier today. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Game 3, Penn Sense tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Noodle's final segment for the week, unless he goes hero and rolls in here on Friday.
Heroic part of me, but I think I'm going to take the rest of the week off and let the stitches heal. We'll see.
Yeah, it should be. Don't be riding any bulls.
No, if I rode a bull after back surgery a day after, it wouldn't be good.
No, I wouldn't suggest doing that. Giselle Bundchen, outing Tom Brady today. She was on CBS this morning. And let's hear the clip one more time.
Yeah.
As a wife, I'm a little bit, you know, it's, as you know, it's not the most like, let's say, an aggressive sport, right? Football, like he had a concussion last year. I mean, he has concussions pretty much. I mean, we don't talk about, but he does have concussions. And he's, I don't really think it's a healthy thing for your body to go through like a, you know, through that kind of aggression, like all the time. And that could not be healthy for you.
So that is a big story. Because concussions are clearly the most sensitive topic in pro sports right now. And the idea that maybe Brady didn't disclose the injury, yet decided to play through it, and clearly did not have any effects that caused him problems.
Here's what I'm predicting. Can she at all give the lost in translation? Like, can she do the translator, but like... Not my first language.
I don't think so. Not with concussions.
I know.
You can't say concussions without understanding what the meaning of concussions.
I'm predicting that there's that's the narrative she goes with.
Well, I don't think so.
I mean, you think about the class action suits that have been prevalent in the class action suit in the NFL. What's going on now in the NHL?
Yeah.
I mean, this has a lot of tentacles to it. Like you know, like or other players. Like you know, if you're the NFL and you're the legal counsel, you're going, wait a second here.
Well, like a couple things I was thinking when hearing the clip. How many other wives throughout the league have the same story?
Yeah,
that they know something was going on, and they know their husband didn't disclose it because he wanted to keep playing. And this is not a guy who is the 53rd guy on the roster. This is Tom Brady. This is the GOAT. This is the greatest player of all time who's saying, if it happened, if it's true, I'm willing to play through it. And someone else pointing out, this may be the Madden curse already showing its ugly face because he's going to be on the cover of Madden.
Oh, really?
And as we're aware, the Madden curse has a tendency to generally lead to injuries or poor play in the future. It doesn't necessarily cause controversy before the season begins, but this is not going to go away. Now, I don't, you know, you guys said 0% Brady's going to come out and admit to anything. I left the door open a little bit, but he's got to be careful because he doesn't want to sue his wife, and his wife. You know, she's concerned about the guy.
I'd like to hear him come out and say, you know what? It wasn't a concussion. It was a really bad hangover.
Yeah.
Gronk was at the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Gronk. We'll be thinking about you tomorrow, Noodles.
Yes.
We'll see how you do, buddy.
Sounds
Keep
good.
Keep us updated. Craig, you're back in here tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.